Welcome to the Redeeming Qualities Podcast, the podcast where men don't speak, but friends speak.
Wait a minute.
Not how men speak, how friends speak.
Shit, man. We got to button that one down.
Oof, that's a hard way to say it. Anyways, I'm joined with Daniel and Mark. Gentlemen, introduce yourself, plug whatever you got to plug.
Oh, what's going on? Mark Boyd, Rastafari Unicorn, Sad Boy Marco, Fresh J's. Aqua Philosophy. Yeah, what's up?
I'm just Daniel.
Nice. Just a quick plug. I finally, as a good friend, listened to a Fresh J's podcast, and it is absolutely hilarious. I loved it from start to finish. It's very honest humor, and I love that. It's what, there's no reputation or clout gathering. It's just four guys being absolutely honest, and it's a really wonderful podcast. So I recommend it to everybody.
Mark, is this one of yours?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to check.
Yeah. So, well, we have a ton of topics to discuss, but me and Mark had a phone conversation, and it immediately turned to, we have to talk about this on the podcast. So, Mark, I'm gonna go ahead and let you just lay out your story.
Okay. So, like, I called you up because I really didn't have no one else to ask about something like this. But I do a number of things. I, you know, just started making music. I've been doing stand-up for 6, going on 7 years. And I do a podcast. And I just, like, I don't know, do that shit. And, I have a friend that's close to mine, that's close to me, and even in high school, people be like, yo, bro, you know, ever since you started hanging out with him, you started hanging, started, like, having the mannerisms you have and acting like you. Well, that person, like, went to college, went into acting school, graduated, and is now doing commercials and shit and, like, kind of killing it, you know, in Chicago. Okay. So, I'd say 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, we start talking, you know, and then he starts, like, just recently started saying, bro, you inspire me, man. You know what I'm saying? You really inspire me, bro, the way you are, you as an artist and how you are, bro, and the way you just are as a person, man. Like, and sitting there, like, telling me this in a very, like, bro, I look up to you and this like that, and people tell me I want to do, you know, that I should do stand-up, man. I think about how you do stand-up, bro, and then I got equipment to do music, and then now he's super started doing music, right? Okay. So the weird last part was that he calls me up. You know, I've been going live doing the music thing, making a beat, right?
With
right
the beat live.
Right. Yeah. He hits me up and says, hey bro, I'm about to go live and make a beat. And I'm like, all right, bro. Now I was like, hey bro. I was like, all right, bro, that's cool, but whatever. And then he says, I said, that's weird, but okay, that's what I said. And then he was like, oh, what's weird? And I just said, well, you know, I really pride myself on being my own person and being an individual. And, don't you want to be your own person? And then he comes back and is like, oh, I respect that and honor that, but you ain't the first nigga to go live. And, you know what I'm saying? Do you really feel like you, I'm biting you? I don't want you to feel that way. Now, that is like the final straw of me feeling like he's biting off me. But it was just like, yo, dude, how do you deal with somebody that's morphing and trying to do everything that you do right after? It was very weird. And also, he's like getting closer to me, like came out to LA and like kicked with me and like talked to me and pretty much told me, hey, bro, I want to do things you do. So, like, that's why I was, like, trying to deal with setting a boundary and saying, hey, bro, can you be your own person? And Martinez was like, bro, you know that this is a plot to, like, several movies where someone ends up dying, right? And my friends have told me, like, you better watch out, bro. That dude's going to get close to you and kill you. Like,
right? He's going to steal your whole identity, bro.
And, like, wear my skin around. Yeah. Some shit. So,
yeah.
He can't pull off that hair, though, can he?
I don't think so, bro.
No, it reminded me. So there's a movie out called Friend Request where this girl is, like, infatuated with another girl, and she starts becoming like her and tries to take her life. But I just thought this was super interesting because it's like, it borders flattery, but it gets to a point where it's
when flattery becomes mimicry.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Exactly that. Yes.
I feel like that's just a weird social dynamic that happens, though.
Right.
Like, if you actually are genuinely kind of get close to other people, I feel like you naturally kind of pick up their shit.
I agree with that.
Right? Like, you go to Boston, live there for a while, eventually you're going to start talking similar to them. But, like, I think some people take it too far because they develop that, like, I think it's a lack of confidence. What they don't actually have is the confidence, or they don't accept them. Like, Mark, you are a very accepting person of yourself. Like, you know who you are and you're cool with it. And if people don't fuck with it, you don't really care. Maybe this person just doesn't have that. So all they can do is try to mimic you because that doesn't come natural to them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a fairly outgoing person. When I go out into the real world and talk to people, like, I'm pretty outgoing and forthcoming with most things, and it attracts people to a conversation. Right. But then, like, other people see that, and then sometimes I'll see that people try to do the same thing, and it will come off as pushy because that's not naturally what they do. They just feel like, oh, well, Daniel's talking a bunch to this person, so now I have to. You know, maybe it's just something like that. Like, I think it's probably something that started off as genuine, like the dude just really liked your shit, and now he sees what it does for you and just isn't confident enough to do it himself. Like, I'm sure there's a shit ton of people doing exactly what Kevin Hart did to get to where he's at. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I feel as though it is possibly the, he's also an actor, a good actor, right? Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. It's mm-hmm. the things, and I don't know because I, you know, of course we're only getting your side.
Right.
But I don't know all of the things he's doing, but for the way you said it, it just seems like there seemed like a lot of parallels. You started doing stuff and then he started doing stuff.
Honestly, it sounds like he wants to fuck you.
Oh man.
I mean, if I'm on, hey, I just like, you are so great, man. You're so, like, I think you're pretty great. I don't, I got to tell you it all the time. Right? Like, maybe he's just into you, bro.
So I also, okay, have you seen this show Hacks that's on HBO Max?
No.
Mm-mm. You guys even seen any commercials for it? Hacks?
Nope.
No, I don't have commercials.
Not even commercials. Okay, well, it's a show on HBO Max, obviously. There's this pretty-ass young white girl, right, that it starts writing for this older white comedian, right? Okay, so she's like, you know, this girl, sick, it's pretty funny, a pretty girly show, I'll say. But I've known that girl. That girl started coming to my open mics, like, came to my open mics, and, like, as the comedy community, we watched her jump into the game, kind of, you know, but have a confidence, and then things start working her very fast, and then boom, she gets a fucking HBO show. And we find out that it's nepotism, and she very much has a mom that was in the that was like one of the first Saturday Night Live people. Mm. Now, not taken away from her talent, she is very talented, so I can't take it away from, and also super attractive as well. But like, we also, now thinking about it, I can see how an actor can, a Hollywood actor can maneuver through their ability to mimic genuine networking, genuine relationship building, because there was things that she was saying, how she would listen, and then she'd come back the next time and remember that story and totally, like, study me as an important person because I ran something, made me feel way more special and like she really cared, right? But really, she just was a beast at, like, really a beast at really latching on to who she needed to get to in the room. Okay,
that is a skill.
Yes, and I watched him do that. Like, I took him to another place with me. I took him to a venue, and I did a comedy show. Well, he sat and, like, talked to the owner, the dude, and was like, "Oh yeah, you like that drink? I'm going to Chicago, bro. I'm gonna come back here. Let me bring you that drink." I'm like, he just met this dude, right? And he's like, "Yeah, bro, I'm really gonna send you that drink, bro. What's your number, man? Let me get your number so I can send this to you. Okay, what's your address so I can send this back? Or when will you be back?" Like, it was like a buttoning down the make sure that you remember me thing, you know? And like, you know, knowing what somebody likes, I feel like he knows that I take my art very seriously and that it's like, you know, it's a sensitive place for me. So him acting like he's a super fan of it or whatever is a way for me to give him more sauce. Maybe that's what it's hard because yeah. I think he's a good dude, but I just think he's amazing at getting into what someone likes, you know?
He read Andrew Carnegie's book and now he's
seducing
just
and making friends or something like that.
Influencing friends and influencing friends and people or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I've heard of that book.
It's actually a pretty like common sense read, but I mean, I think it was done in the 70s or some shit. So maybe it wasn't so common sense then, but basically right. It just talks about like, if you introduce and talk to people, talk about the shit they like. Right. It shows studies that have been done where people like go into an interview and it's like candidate A, candidate B, they're both exactly the same, but candidate A came in there and saw that Chuck's got a fishing picture on his thing. He's like, oh shit, you fish? Like, what do you fish? And then they just start talking about fishing. And then all of a sudden the hiring dude's like, well, you know, like your natural instinct and you genuinely like somebody that makes you feel good, they end up choosing that person like 75% of the time or something. So it makes sense. Like it's a, but I also see where you're coming from. It feels like you're being used more so than appreciated.
If you're trying to warm me up with the less energy I give that, if it's not working, I want to see how it is when it's not working. That's what I feel like. Because if you're not getting what you want out of that, how frustrated do you get? You know what I'm saying? Or how weird is it to try to turn, you know, use my weaknesses against me? I don't know.
So, okay. Let me, have both of you guys heard about the Uncanny Valley?
No.
This term? Okay, so Uncanny Valley is a thing where people, you know, they don't like things like mannequins or what's coming up with video games where things don't quite seem right.
Okay.
Where it's like, okay, this is, something's wrong about this. And I feel like this is a relationship parallel to the Uncanny Valley where you don't feel the genuineness in the relationship. You only feel used. There hasn't been a moment where you're like, hey, you know, you keep taking him to places and every single time you get to start to see that he's networking and he's never really taken that relationship serious, so you can actually start to feel used in that regard. And I definitely think that you're actually seeing that the relationship as an actor, he's doing very well by pretending, oh Mark, I'm your friend, I'm into this, and he's giving you the acting of it. He's playing the script well, but as you're watching him behind the scenes, you don't actually see him being a friend. You see him being a opportunistic person in the field that he's in, and he's
but
used to
also
that.
But also, yes, I wonder if that's the only way these people can be. So then when I think about them, I'm like, maybe that, like, I think about her, I watch her, I even watch her in the show killing, and I'm like, damn, that was you doing, that's you. The show is, she doesn't have friends in the show because she is an opportunist in the show, bro. So I'm like, damn, like, as a person and as an artist, this shit goes way deeper than it does for me. Yeah, I write from experience, but you maneuver and act and are living truly, it's all
that
you.
Character,
you know,
already.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You've created it and it's like deep seated within. So whatever you end up in is going to be a part of, you're going to, a part of that, you're going to become a little bit because you can't help. You can't help it. Like that, you just are that artist. You just are that actor all the time. You're always acting, dude. That's what I. So, like every laugh I've ever gotten from you, was it ever real? Every
right?
Anything that I've ever gotten,
you
got to
question
real?
Your whole existence.
Yes, dude.
Honestly, like, would you get random? But would you prefer love or honesty? Like total trust or love? Total trust, honesty, like the shit's hard to deal with, right? Like nobody wants to be told the truth 100% of the time. I realize that because I may tell the truth too much, or maybe I'm just too blunt in the way I deliver it. But I feel like personally, I would want somebody that was going to be honest, like to me all the time, more so than somebody that's like, when I think of love, it's like you just kind of accept somebody no matter what. Like Fez was telling me a story before about an incident that he had with somebody. You know, we were talking about like getting into scraps and how like certain people will be in certain situations.
Are you telling my stories now? What are you telling my stories for?
I'm not telling your story. I'm just saying, like, I feel like for me, I would rather have that trust in the other person more so than like that blind, like I support this person no matter what. Where do you stand?
Honest, I want love over honesty, because honesty
and trust isn't
always the best medicine. And honesty doesn't always make you trust somebody, because you can be honest with somebody and still have a, you know, like, for example, let's just talk about this situation with Mark. He could honestly be a fan of his music, but where he's coming into the relationship, is it out of love? It's not that, it's out of networking. So in this situation, and in every situation, I choose love. Lie to me, but love me.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking from his standpoint, using Mark's situation, like, if you trust a person and then you know, you could at least know that it was genuine, and then therefore you would know if
but
the
you're
love
saying,
existed.
You're conflating dishonesty or honesty with trust. Just because somebody's honest with me doesn't mean I'll trust them. Like,
well,
for
that's
example,
why I said honesty,
like,
trust. I comboed them with honesty and trust. Not.
Oh no, no, sorry. So then let's change the question. Would I rather trust somebody or love them? Not and take out dishonesty as a metric. That's a different.
So you
that's
would
a
rather.
Question.
So you would rather have love. You would rather have love than be able to trust somebody.
No, that's okay. Not what I said. Okay, Danny's cool. Initial question was different than what he morphed it into. So I have to. I'm sorry. I'm playing this whole thing. Yeah, you asked dishonesty or love or dishonesty.
Honesty and trust.
He said honesty.
Love.
You said honesty and trust. Did you? Damn it!
I thought I said honesty. And
I
trust.
Thought you said love and honesty.
You know what?
You did say
what?
That. You did
say
that.
You
said honesty and yes.
We're gonna see after we release this what was actually said. But now I'll
no,
go back.
It
okay.
Was love and honesty is what it was. And
yes,
you kind of changed it. You kind of
turned it into
the trust thing. But I kind of understood that that's what he meant in the beginning.
Yeah,
like,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm meaning like through okay. Honesty, like you trust that person fully
yes.
Because
you
are no, honest, 100%.
Okay,
I'm so morphing.
Honesty doesn't mean trust to me, because somebody could be honest with me and I'm like, I'm still not gonna trust you with my wallet. You know what I'm saying?
If they've shown a complete thing of if now I would imagine, and I'm adding this maybe, is that if this person is honest by default to a fault, mm-hmm. honest to a fault, mm-hmm. like they have a whole thing of telling the truth, or a person that just has a whole thing of loving me the whole time, whether it's truthful or not, right?
Yeah.
Which one would I rather have? And I feel like that's what he was asking. And like, I think I've had both. I've had. Well, the girl that's like, I'm going to tell you the truth, and even if it's hurtful. And I've had the girl like, it's going to lie to me and act like she's worshiping me. You know,
to, yeah, to keep well, you well, feeling comfortable.
Yes.
Well, let me go ahead and put a scenario in there.
Okay.
Somebody's like, okay, you know, I love you. They're completely honest. I love you, but I slept with your best friend. That's still honesty without trust.
So well, that trust at that, not, trust at that point is broken. But what I like about that is now I have the decision to bounce.
At least nobody was
lying to me, and I'm living some fake shit because somebody can't tell me the truth.
You're moving on. I'd like to go back to the question of, would I rather have love or trust? I would rather have trust. This honesty is not in that equation. And that's just me, because like in my scenario, I showed a honest and untrustful at the same time. So I don't conflate those two. Those are separate to me.
Mm. Well, then I think I need to be more literal with what word.
Oh, absolutely.
With,
you should be
with
literal.
You.
Absolutely.
But I feel like Mark picked it up. Maybe that's just the author in you. Because I'm thinking,
well,
if I'm completely honest, like what you told me was like, or with the wallet thing, like just because somebody doesn't mean you'd let them have your wallet. If that person's honest to you 100% of the time, you know that, and they say, hey, can I trust you to watch my wallet without like doing some dumb shit? And they tell me yes. Like, isn't that, wouldn't I trust them because of the, I guess I was thinking that trust would be a natural byproduct of said honesty.
I definitely believe honesty is a part of trust, but it's not the only thing for trust.
But like what you presented, that option of saying I cheated on you, telling you that honesty is a paradox. That's a paradox within the thing. Like that's the one
it's
time that it's like, That would be an example that's like, yeah, did they already display your trust? Now we have to ask that because it's a riddle. It's a circle right now. But if it's just like them sitting there and being like, hey, you're getting fat, that's not about dishonesty or whether they actually already did you dirty. And so can they be trustworthy? That's like, hey, this is a a painful truth. Hey, you're getting fat. Hey, you're spending our money stupidly. Hey, I don't like how you treat fucking my mother or your mother, right? If you had to hear those things bare-faced in it, rather than being like, you know, rather than being like, oh, babe, you know, I blah, 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 and then it building up.
That just builds up forever.
Yes, yeah. And then it finally gets to a breaking point because you didn't hear these weird-ass hints or whatever because she was loving you. Like, I feel as though... I feel as though one of them is going to have more fights and one of them is going to end fast. Like, you know?
Yeah, right. Either way, both kind of fucked.
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know, love, you know, in the point of love is they're not trying to be hurtful because that doesn't sound like love to me at all. Being that hurtful, like talk about your mom, talk about, you know, like, Blaming somebody to me is not love. Talking to somebody about the issues and trying to resolve it together sounds like, hey, we do this. What are we doing? Like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Versus you do this. That doesn't sound like love. That sounds like blaming.
Okay. Cool. That's that, I guess.
Yeah.
I think I would like to have trust. You know, I like to have trust.
Oh,
and then
absolutely.
Like when we say love, damn, what a weird ass concept.
Right?
Like, what is that?
Shouldn't that have the trust in there?
That whole blaming thing that you just said right there, I could go on and go against you with that and be like, I think that just points something out. Even though you were probably right, I'm just not even going into it, but it's just like, we could do the same thing about love. What is love to me? I think someone telling me the truth is love. I think truth is love in general.
That's what I'm saying.
So
that's where it's like, convoluted, like
it's so fucked up. It's
honestly, so fucked I could argue either point.
Yes, I could argue either point.
But if love has trust in it, then love wins anyway.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
100%. I would agree with that. But we put a parameter of the word "or" in
different,
it.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
We fucked it all up.
We created in the question. We created a difference.
The one that I morphed to get you to agree with me.
If we had a woman on the phone right now, which we do not have not had a female guest yet, which, you know what, our fans may be like, thank God, or they might be like, damn, to a woman, it would be a totally different thing.
You want a female guest?
Are you about to rule your girl up right now?
No. All right.
Not
right now.
For a quick
we got to discuss things.
We have to talk about it.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Right. But what I'm saying is that if we talk about what the truth is.
I got to throw this out there. Jinx like 11 times with you, Boyd, because we both went, no,
you guys recording beats together?
Oh, man.
You guys been practicing.
We were like, stop, whatever you do. I don't know who you're about to bring on this, but do not, please.
Well, I was just going to ask the question to make the proposal, like, shit, I'm not that guy. Oh, God, I am that guy.
You just were that guy. You're like,
I am that guy.
You were about to show us you were that guy.
Yep.
Sure we was. Both had to say no 11 times.
Yep, but, at least
22 no salute.
Only because you guys know me too well. You're like, wait, he said he's gonna do something. He's gonna go do it. Stop.
Yes.
Okay.
But
and
if we were to...
trust and honesty and love, I know. All together.
And I love together. It. But it was the trust part I appreciated the most.
But if we were to bring a girl on, her idea of what trust and honesty is two different things. Her and we would have to, because to me, I personally feel like if routine is a woman's idea of truth. If every day you come home and you take a shower, that is her truth. Whether you may not, you might just be going in the bathroom letting the shower run, but to her, that's her. That's your routine. The second you come home,
the one
and
that
be like,
you don't. You've been
what are you doing
something.
You're cheating. Why are you not? Or if you come home and don't shower, but then the one day you come home and jump right in the shower, it's like, what was that all about? That was so weird. I feel like you're just being different. You're different these days.
You're washing booty off your dick, aren't you?
Yeah. Let me smell your dick.
Been there. Have one of those relationships before.
Let me smell your dick. I feel like, you got that? Yeah, must. You like that, huh?
Yeah, smells like working 8 hours, bitch.
Yeah. With a tinge of lemon. No, I don't know, but...
What did you say? What, Badusi? That was you that taught me that one, right?
Badusi, yeah.
Fez, had you ever heard that?
No, I have not, so I definitely need to know what this means. Badusi?
Am
I saying that right?
Badusi.
So
spell that.
I'm sitting there. I don't remember where it happened, but I walk up to into a room, and I'm like, man, it kind of smells, you know? And then, like, 5 minutes later, Mark walks into the same room. He's like, yo, it smells like Badusi. And I'm just like, wait, pause. What? And he's just, yeah, but dussy. And I'm like, what the fuck is but dussy? And he's like, balls, dick, and pussy. And I'm just
no,
like,
it's booty, dick, and pussy.
Booty, dick, and pussy. That's what I'm like. And I'm just like,
but dussy, but dussy.
But
okay,
dussy.
I gotcha.
It's booty, dick, and pussy. And I just like, everybody just started busting up. Like, and did you say it? Was it like your dad used to say it or some shit?
This is from, wait a minute. This is, it's from How to Be a Player.
Uh-huh.
Actually from How to Be a Player. And, oh, dude, I want to play it on YouTube for you guys. But he comes, oh, hold on. He plays it. And, oh, wait a minute.
It's not like, what does he?
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, here you go. Wait.
What's the smell? It smells like Badussy. Booty, dick, and pussy. I'm telling you, all I
do. So, on the movie, I had to just move to the perfect part where he was, like, making the face. But, like, on the movie, on How to Be a Player, this dude was, like, fucking a whole bunch of girls, and he like went through and told you how to be a player, right? Mm. And so at one point he's fucking this girl, and it's actually Bernie Mac's girlfriend. So he smashes, and then but the dude Bernie Mac comes into the house. He sneaks out the door, and then the lady's like, "Hey, baby, hi!" And Bernie Mac's like, "What is that smell?" Right? And then he does the whole thing, booty, dick, and pussy. What the hell? And he starts looking around, and it's just perfect. It's a hilarious point. So that's where I got that from. Rest in peace, Bernie Mac.
Yeah, oh, man. Bernie Mac was actually funny.
Yeah, dude, it's classic.
Yeah, his show is one that me and the kids watched together. It was, you know, even 10, 15 years down the road, it
was still perfect.
Still perfect. Still the situation. The thing about it was so perfectly kids and so perfectly male.
Yes.
And, you know, like, a lot of the times I'm watching it with my children and I'm looking at them and I'm pointing at one of them because they've had that situation. And it's like, God, that was so well written.
I love that he was wrong sometimes. He wasn't always right. He would be fucking up as a parent. He was learning. He made mistakes. And also he like, it's almost as if, here's a question. Both of y'all fathers, do you ever feel like you're standing up for something in the household, how you feel like something should run with parenting, and the mothers maybe being like, you don't need that. That's just you as a male, you as a man doing this right now. And it's like, almost as if like, she's almost like, okay, it's almost like your masculine or man position right now is like wrong just because you even have a point of view on this, or am I just riding into some shit?
So this is one of those things about marriage where you got to actually build these. It's not like one day you got the script, somebody gave you like, hey, this is dad, this is everything you need to be know. This is
right.
This is everything you need to be know. You come into a marriage with all your baggage, and then you come into parenting with all your childhood trauma. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have all of that, and then together, you gotta work through it and be like, "Hey, what do you do good? What do you do?" And you know what? You also gotta compliment, like, "Hey, babe, I'm so happy you took the kids to the park. I wasn't able to do it this weekend, and you know, I can see the smile on their faces, and that means a lot to me that you're taking that time." And there's a lot of these moments, and the same thing with like consequence, like, you know, like sometimes like, hey, the kids are doing this, and you have to like take a step back, but like, oh man, that's something I do with the kids, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now they're getting in trouble for it, but like, hey, you know. And that's the thing too, like where that honesty comes in, like, you know, a lot of times, you know, my wife wants, and you know, we want to try to eat 100% organic, but every occasion like I got ice cream, you know, it's organic. I'm sorry. Wow, that's loud.
That's distracting. Shit.
Thought you were cooking some fucking bacon.
Dude, it's been going on for like 20 minutes.
What's been going on for 20 minutes?
Whatever you're doing, like the drawers.
Making a drink? Oh,
yeah, I don't know what you're doing, man. It's loud.
Jesus, my house is like the loudest thing in the fucking world. It's an echo chamber. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Anyways, as I was saying, it just that was louder than the rest of it had been.
Yeah, well, I was trying to shake up a drink real quick. I like all the story talk. I was like, I might as well have a tequila drink. Sorry, I killed the whole thing. My bad.
Oh, no, you're good. So anyways, I got lost. You know what? It happens all the time. I get distracted. because right now, in my brain, what I was talking about is completely gone, and Chumbawamba is going through my head. I take a drink. I take a whiskey drink. I don't know.
My bad, man. You were talking about parenting, getting on the same page with things.
Yeah, yes. Getting on the same page, and it's not a single day thing. It's a whole
But as
process.
A man, specifically as a man, when it feels like you're not needed, even though you are, like, do you ever feel like your input as a man is like, shut up, dad, because we don't really even need you here. You're just saying that because you're a man type situation. Does that ever happen? You know?
I know exactly what you're asking, but I'm not going to contribute to this topic.
Okay, all right, for legal purposes.
I'll go ahead and jump in on this all the time. Even when I'm the expert in something, they're like, dad, I didn't ask you. And it's like, oh, okay. So, yeah. You know, like being a father is a constant ego check. Uh-huh. Like me talking to you guys, like you guys want to talk to me. You guys want to hear me. 30 seconds into a conversation with my daughter, and my daughter's like, okay, dad, I don't need a paragraph. She's like, just tell me what, you know, it's like, it's basically like, don't talk to me. Just give me the bullet points, and that's all I want from you.
Because I need as little as possible and quick wisdom as possible. None of the experience that you've had living is important. I want spark notes. Please hurry up. Please, I have life to live, you old piece of shit. No, I'm just playing. I don't know if they're saying
all
that.
All the time. And exactly how you said it is perfect. That's what I get as a dad all the time. You know, my kids, they still don't even know what I do. I've tried to explain it to them numerous times. My daughter, if you ask her, she's like, what does dad do? I don't know. He goes, yells at some people. That's what he does. That's what she thinks I do. One of my daughters will be like, spy planes. You know what I'm saying? And there's
spy planes.
That's spy. It. That's,
at least she's close.
Yeah, she's
closer. But yeah, they have no interest in me as a person. I feel like that's all kids. Like all kids.
No, you know what it is? You should leave. No, I'm just playing. You should have a lot of interest. What did I do? It's like, yeah. When I was trying to give you that advice, don't think I'm still out getting cigarettes, motherfucker.
I'm going to get smokes. I'll be back.
Then they want to have all this interest.
I'll be like that TikTok trend. It's like, I was the dad you didn't want. Now I'm the dad you can't have, and just disappear.
Yes. It's like, that's those dads. Like, oh, I just always wonder, what did he like? And you hear kids that didn't have dads growing up, you know, and how they talk about like what the moments that they wish they had with dads. And I even myself, so many times with my dad, I just like, I don't want to go fishing this weekend, or I don't want to do this thing, this moment that you're trying to build a memory, because I'm just annoyed with you and whatever. And just like how special were those moments? And like, I think about other kids that didn't have that. And how they, like, how much interest they had. It was like, and I'm like, dude, if you had one, you wouldn't even care, man. Now I know how important it is, you know? I definitely know that, you know, dads are unappreciated. And then it can, and then, like, if there's animosity, and sorry, we can stop talking about this because I hear and understand and respect what's going on with you, but Danny. But, like, I could just see how frustrating that could be.
You know, a firm believer in, you know, that. There's another thing that happens where you don't realize how important something is until you lose them. Like, you know, I lost my dad.
Can I just interject real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't really hear much. I hear like gates and birds in my headphones. It's hard for me to hear. But
yeah, that was me putting away a dog.
Okay, sorry. I can hear better.
It sounded like Resident Evil, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly what I was thinking. Like walking through a video game, I was like, like the stereotypical sounds.
Yeah, my kids aren't scared of my gate, but I hear that all the time. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. I had to put in the dog because, she was just barking. So, anywho, with dads, like, you know, even now, like, you know, you grow up, you realize how important they are. My father died when I was 21. And, you know, it's like I grew up with him. I had him my entire life. And it's like, man, that was great. But I didn't have him my entire life. Like, he missed me getting married. He missed me having children. he missed, you know, I had to walk my sister down the aisle because he missed her wedding. So there's a lot to it too, man. So like, you know, just even as an adult, you still miss things about your dad. So I feel like, you know, as soon as this podcast is done, whoever's listening, take a moment, call your parents, appreciate them, because they're not, it doesn't last forever. So that's all I'll say.
You want to talk about this black man, white woman, black man? You want to talk about that?
If you want to, yeah, I'm down. I mean, it's my topic, so obviously I'm down.
I talked to Fez a little bit ago, and I was telling him basically what the black note was. And I'm like, last night I went out on a date. I go out on a date, and I'm like sitting there, and the girl I'm on a date with is Jamaican. And we go to this little spot, and there's a little line where they're checking IDs and whatnot. And the dude that's checking IDs, big, huge, fat black dude, right? And like as soon as he sees the two of us, he sees like, you know, skinny ass, weird looking white dude with Jamaican girl. And he like, I get that look from him right away, like, what the fuck are you doing? You know? And I'm like, I don't really think much of it because I've kind of gotten used to it. But and then the girl, Kalia, she's like, hey, like, yeah, it's called black solidarity. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, it's just like he's kind of like looking out for me. I'm like, yeah, but like he's doing it pretty hard, you know, like complimenting her and like just giving me that look like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Right. And he's like, yo, I like your outfit, talking to her. Thank you. And I'm like, OK, that's like a little weird, you know, but it goes on like the entire time we're at the bar. And then like you notice different awkward looks and stuff. And so what she was telling me, she was like, yeah, well, what's weird is like people's perception. And it made me kind of be like, oh, I see these privilege moments a little more clearly now. And what she was telling me is she notices when she goes out, like a group of black women walking past us looks at her, and she's like, automatically she feels like she gets some kind of judgment from those women because she's with a white man. And then she was telling her friend about us, and she's like, ooh, I don't know what's with you and those white boys, girl. Like, I support black love. And she's like, well, I just think love is love, you know, and like different things. But what was interesting was her perspective on the dynamic. And what she was saying is like, you could tell that there is racial profiling that happens naturally, regardless of what you think. Because, for example, when she says she gets viewed and she's with a white man, it's like it looks, people will look at her as if, oh, well, she must be smart or educated, or she must be doing well because she's like, she's with this white guy. And then she's like, but if you see like a white woman with a black guy, it's always assumed to be like a negative thing. Like, oh, well, she's just driving him to work, or she's doing this. And I thought it was interesting because I had never thought of that dynamic before.
I got to pause you there. I always thought the white woman, black guy was because she was overweight. Is that just me just being terrible, or is that just a realistic thing?
Shout out to Juneteenth. Let's start with that, huh?
Shit, it is Juneteenth.
this conversation, first of all,
I didn't even realize that. I shouldn't be working today.
Yeah, I shouldn't be on the phone with y'all. Y'all putting me to work. The fuck is this bullshit? No,
nobody's putting you to work, first of all.
I'll pay you time and a half.
Is that what my sister did that for?
We made some money.
No, we did actually. So we did, which is cool. And hey, if you're a listener, you know what I'm saying? Like, share, and subscribe, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Guys.
The share part mostly, which is cool if you like it. I feel as though it depends on so I don't know where to even start. I think it starts on the way that they both look like I'm in LA, and like, yo, it's like a lot of times you see like the idea was that it was like not the best looking white girl and a black dude. Like, you'll see an athletically built black dude with just any old white girl, right? Or, you know, mm-hmm. a super pretty white girl, or the prettiest black girl with a white dude, you know what I'm saying? And then like with any old white dude, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. But out in LA, I will say, like, motherfuckers is like, you see the top of the line white girl with the top of the line black dude, you know? So, and I mean that in like super in shape and super attractive and like both doing well money wise.
Genetically.
Yeah. Yes. So, like, with all that has happened with slavery, all that has happened in this country, in the world, actually, in terms of race, and people constantly thinking, you know, Pan-Africanism and, like, you know, the idea of, you know, Marcus Garvey and, like, how we need to, you know, preserve as best we can our race and things like that, and how the world's been trying to kill it off. I understand from that scope, that lens, why people would want to would want black people to make babies and like couple up. You know what I'm saying? I understand from that.
Hold on. So no. Can I get a clarification from you real quick, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
On this, you basically said that it almost seemed like that the, you know, let's use a scale that everybody hates, 1 through 10, right? You're saying it was like, you know, the 8s and 9s of the black community was only getting like a 4 and a 5 of the white community, or was it even less? Does that seem like?
I'm like just saying the scales... that's what the old view was. That's what the view was. You know what I'm saying? You would see and that's what every comedian told jokes about. Well, come whenever a black dude give it a white girl, you know what I'm saying? It's the ones that the white dudes don't even want. That's like what something Damon Wayans Sr. said, you know what I'm saying? And he's like walking around like she's the finest. And that's what you just said. You just said that too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, right? You stereotyped Ryan do it also.
Yeah. So
who, me? I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did.
Aren't the black guys with fat white? Well, and that's what I was saying. I did the same stereotype. I'm asking Mark mainly because I'm like, so do you feel like that's an accurate assessment? Like, if you go out and you're out in public with a white girl, do you feel like you get approached different in society than when you go out and you're with a black girl?
Yuck, I would never date a white woman. That is gross. No, I'm just like, yuck.
Yuck.
No.
Oh, and
no.
I'm the bad guy.
Only
I'm
my beautiful, beautiful dark Nubian queens is the only thing that I see. Shout out.
You're not going to tell me you've never gone out in public with a white woman.
I really have never had, though. Not even what? For racist reasons, but I've never really actually dated a white girl before. I really want to, though. I'm in Beverly Hills. Please. Shit. I just had my
I'm in Beverly Hills. You can find me at Rastafari Unicorn on Instagram.
Yes,
never,
please.
Never been with a white woman.
I've been with them, but I have not like dated one actually in a relationship before, even in a like long.
You've just kept them hidden.
Yes, or we just never dated. We just like fucked a few times, you know, whatever it is. So that is something that I miss. But I will say in the times that I've walked around, yes. Because look, as a black woman, if I'm a black woman and I walk around and I do want to date a black man, the numbers are skewed as fuck. How many black dudes are employed? How many black dudes are not in jail? How many black dudes have a car? How many black dudes, right? So then how many black dudes are gay? So they look at it like their pickings are super, super, super slim. So now you're one and you choose to date a Hispanic, a Asian, a white girl. So of course they're going to give you some weird ass look. They're going to give you a like, what the fuck? You know,
I guess I've never looked at it from that standpoint. Like you're saying, like they're already looking at it like, hey, the black men, they're like few and far between. And then when they see a black man with somebody that is not black, that makes sense to me.
I feel totally. You definitely get dirty looks if you're ugly. Now, if you're ugly, if you're even something that they would like, you know, but if you're like ugly, I don't know. If you're ugly as hell and something they don't want, I don't think they care. They'll be like, take them. We don't need them anyway. So it's a whole thing. But look, we're in a weird ass time. Man, we're in this dating and the internet and black dating, bro. There's these dudes on the internet that just straight talk to black and white dudes, black men and women, and like what their rating system is on like what they think they deserve. And they just like, a girl will come on there and be like, I think I deserve a high value man. And the dude will sit back, his name is Kevin Samuels, and be like, he'll be like, so what do you think you are on a scale of 1 to 10? And the girl will be like, 8, and he'll laugh at her.
Yeah, like, no, I know what you're talking about. Okay, cool. I've seen those. Yeah.
Yes. So I think that that's totally cool and great. Not all the time, but also I think that there's a lot of people that are that are not with reality on what they deserve in dating, and that keeps a lot of people single. So that's probably a lot of people's insecurities and anger towards why they can't find somebody is why you might be getting looks, and here's two people that look like they're having fun and in love. It's all of that stuff. Race and people's insecurities and people thinking that they should give people mean looks and all of then their bad day in general, that comes down to those type of interactions, I think. So that's that. Yeah. And black people, there's a whole bunch of nerd black dudes that fucking listen to Naruto, watch Naruto, and listen to fucking weird ass music, that work out and maybe a little musty, but like are not like terrible dudes, right? But those girls that are complaining that just that see them dudes with an Asian girl or something like that would never date him anyway.
Mark, is this personal? Them. Is this personal?
I mean, I'm musty, but I don't do all that other shit. You know what I'm saying?
I don't do all that. I'm musty, but I don't do the gym and the other shit.
you know what I'm saying? Like, I just started watching anime, and I listen to some weird music, but I've been fucking black bitches for a while, so that's not my issue. It's just like, I see the frustration. A black incel, man, that's an intense motherfucker, bro. You got racism and no pussy at the same time?
Oh. Wow, Fez, did we lose you?
No, I'm sorry. Mark got me in a rabbit hole. So he talked about so I'd like to bring up this point. So this is something I've never ever thought about, because you know sometimes there's that we segregate different things like dating in jail, and I never thought about that. So real quick, according to the Bureau of Justice, in 2018, black males accounted for 34% of the population, of total prison population.
Yeah.
The black population, let me see, let me find the thing that I had opened up. The total black population in America.
15?
Which one was this?
15?
13.4%. That's crazy. So they're 34%. Mark is bringing up an absolute amazing point. That I can understand why black women are angry about black males dating white women, because there's not a lot of them. And I can see where this is not a perceived famine, feast or famine thing. This is an actual type of famine thing. And
the black community has been saying this forever, though, Fez. Like,
about dating.
2021. No, true. But I'm just saying, like, all of those things have tied in.
Yeah, I got that. 100%. And that's why I started that with, I had never thought of these two things in the same context. And this is the first time I did. So I just wanted to bring out some numbers for this. And yeah, I know about, you know, the disparity when it comes to, you know, shootings, incarcerations, probation, plea deals, all of these different things. I completely understand that. I just wanted to put it out there for people who might not have known the numbers, to just kind of really, really put it out there. And that was insane to me. And to put it in this context.
Yeah, for you dating, to put the numbers out there. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's an absolute, like, mind blown right at this point. Like, I have to look into this.
If it's already only 13 or 15% of the population, and then within the prison system, it's 34%. That 34% is way more significant. Yes. Because of how minimal the already 13 to 15% is. Like, that's what's nuts. So when Mark said that, like, it's a slap in the face, you realize, like, oh, shit, like, they totally have something to be mad about.
Yeah, absolutely. you know what? 100% really, like, that's an issue. That's a terrible issue.
If you're a black dude, you're straight, and you're walking around, and if you only do fuck black women, I'm not trying to be bogus, but they're fine if you like them. So then why would I just have one? See, now I'm a dog. You know, now I'm my shit, right? It's like, no, I want to love many of you. So
but now it makes sense why I'm getting weird fucking looks.
Yes.
Ties back in, because people are looking at me like, what are you doing, white boy? Like, why are you doing this? And they're looking at her weird because, like, why aren't you with a black man? What are you doing walking around with white boys?
Exactly.
Dude, that's crazy. So, the world's crazy.
So then, like, on some petty, stupid shit, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you're with a white dude. Okay, if you're a black dude, I was thinking about Jack Johnson, the fucking boxer in the 1920s, who used to walk around with a fucking fur coat on and beat up white dudes. He was undefeated for a long ass time. This motherfucker in the 20s would get out the car, a Stratusburg or some fly ass car, with a white woman, and then take her home after the fight, after beating a white dude in the 20s. You know what I'm saying? So I think you walk in a room or walk into a place with a white dude and you're around a whole bunch of white people, you're like, holy fuck, this is scary. She has to talk for you sometimes, you know? And if you're a black, it's so let's just we constantly we want to spread our seed on a primal level. We feel like what we want our color to spread the most. So then, like, what black dudes are like, you lightening up your seed, bitch. You know what I'm saying? And then other dudes are like, you gonna darky up the pureness. There's also that petty stupidness on a primal level. So it's just like that we're not all the way that evolved, you know, socially. And this is where it all comes, and that's, we see that systematically. Blah 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 blah.
And I just looked into it, just so you know. The same things that I brought out for the African American male population is the same for the female Hispanic population.
Oh yeah, yes.
Yeah. So you know, these are, like I said. Here's the thing that I had heard a metaphor. For a lot of this, it's certain things in this country is like being right-handed. There's a lot of things that are designed for right-handed people, and you know, left-handed people get to feel how things aren't designed for them and how things don't work for them. And this is probably one of those things. Even the dating system right now isn't designed for, you know, it's an unfair that the amount of people in prison is of one population. So of course, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have to look outside. And I completely understand that. And then you get hate for looking outside. That's crazy. So, yeah. Mm. Anyways, I just started throwing some mathematical since apparently I wasn't taking this seriously.
Yeah, man. I mean, you can see it. You got to look through all of that to get what you want, man. It all depends on what you want. If you want love, you want to start a family, then go after that for all you want. But you know what I'm saying? If I were to talk to somebody that's unhappy with those things, still, I bet you if I look back in their time, they would have given up. And not, there was a lot of things that they, a person that they met that it could have worked on, but there was a red flag or something that they just couldn't deal with. Dick is little. He wouldn't fucking stop drinking alcohol. He was abusive. He was all this. And I'm not saying that those aren't things that you shouldn't, that's up to you. But it's just like, hey man, shit gets a little harder. The window's starting to close, you know? That for a woman, it closes earlier, which is also fucked up, you know? But, right. You know, I just, a lot of the shit is personal, that stems. You've been hurt, so now you're mad when you see somebody else having a good time. So that's that. I feel like we've talked about, you know, some stuff with time, but Fez, you have some cool things you want to bring up.
So here's something that is weird to me. Mm-hmm. So there's certain clothing where people get attacked for wearing it. And I'm not meaning like attack as in like old school band shirts. Somebody wears, you know, a Rolling Stone shirt. And my daughter, I bought her a Rolling Stone shirt. It's really awesome. I need to know a couple of songs they sing. I'm like, why? Does it matter? It looks cool. She's like, well, because if I wear it, everybody's going to know anything by them. And I need to know their, you know, some songs from them that, you know, are good. And so, you know, I told her, like, in a black, and, you know, just got me thinking, and this is something I see on the internet as well, is people attack people for wearing clothing. And it's weird when it comes to them. Like, I can wear, like, a Patagonia shirt, you know, I've never been to Patagonia. You know what I'm saying? Or okay. I could wear what was that nautical brand?
Nautica.
Got it. What's called Nautica?
Yeah,
it is called Nautica.
I've never been sailing. I'll never be on the water. If I wear that, no one's gonna like check my credentials. If I wear polo, no one's gonna be like, "Well, do you own a horse? Are you?"
That's no not my experience. I've been checked for that. I used to have issues in school with that. We've talked about that. Like, people would be like, "Oh, you're wearing this," and blah blah blah. Like, yeah, I can totally understand why your daughter wanted to know that.
That's what I'm saying. Why is you? So I'm saying for a polo shirt, you got checked for a polo shirt for not being a polo person.
Not for not being a polo person, but if you like wore a polo shirt or something, it'd be like, oh, like, why are you, is that a fake polo shirt? Because obviously you're poor. Like,
I know what you're saying.
Okay.
So then I'm not saying about the authenticity of it. I'm just saying it's certain things like Star Wars. If you wear Star Wars, there's like people come up to you and try to check you on your knowledge of something. Or if you wear a Biggie shirt or a Pac shirt, people are like, hey, well, you know, name 10 songs. You know what I'm saying? It's a weird wore a thing Wu-Tang that people
shirt, do. And this white dude that's in comedy that fucking had went to jail tried to check me for lyrics. Now, look, I know many Wu-Tang songs, but I know many everything that I wear. But if you were to ask me lyrics for any of them, I'm not that dude. I cannot, like, I am bad at just saying things back. I'm bad at remembering names. I'm bad at a lot of shit. You know, you could, Kanye, bro, if you ask me on the tip, like, what a Kanye shit is, I might say the lamest verse ever. Just because that doesn't mean that I don't like it. So that's personally for me. But just, like, I am just the type of person that can't remember. And I remember wanting to fuck him up so bad. I wanted to, yeah. I think I had this big-ass juice glass bottle, and I saw myself crashing overhead. Then I was, like, blacking out. Like, people were like, Mark, talking to me. And I just couldn't remember. I was pissed.
Dude, that's awesome.
You were that mad, huh?
I was so pissed, dude, because he was, like, yelling at me.
Because, that's what I'm trying to say is people will, like, try to rip your clothes off of you because they don't think you deserve to wear a piece of cotton on you with a design on it.
And that's just speaking to the power of art, the power of pop culture, the power of, you know what I'm saying, popular art, is that people feel like they own it so bad that it's them. And so you're being a poser by wearing a fucking shirt when that's not the fucking case. You're lame and build a personality around something else rather than the things you like, you faggot.
Wow.
Maybe not
hard F.
Ouch!
Sorry.
Ooh,
what's the impact? Mark, was there 4 G's in that? There was shots. Step out. So,
I meant that not in the gay way. I meant it as just like, you know, how you could just be.
I gotcha. You know what? I fully believe that South Park episode that talks about the Harley riders and uses that word like, oh, no, we're taking that word. You know, that's
we're taking it back.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, 100% understood the context in which you said it.
Yeah, but I don't want anything bad to happen to any gay people, you know what I'm saying? But faggots, yeah. Kill them.
So, what a soundbite to be taken, you know, years later out of context.
Oh, yeah. 10 years. 10 years, we're going to be fried.
Okay, but, so Mark got this. Danny, now that, you know, Mark's really, you know, kind of clarified what I've said. What are your thoughts on it? Because I'm not talking about the authenticity.
I understand, like, oh, you're wearing a fake. That, Fez. Yeah, like, I get what you're doing. I understand what you were talking about the whole time. I'm just saying, like, you're saying
because you said something different.
But go along with that, though. Someone, I'm sorry to even cut both of you guys off, but if someone's not wearing a polo shirt and it could be fake, what? How much brand?
It is not different than a loyalty. Yeah, it's no different than a band.
Why are you
brand.
So loyal?
It's you are attached to a brand, whether it's fucking Rolling Stones or Polo. People get attached to different shit.
And it
I walked around
something.
In a stupid fucking Nautica velour jumpsuit because it was supposed to be the cool thing.
Ooh,
I looked like a
pictures.
Fucking beanpole.
Pictures.
I looked like a fuzzy beanpole, like antlers and velvet on a fucking child. Like,
yeah, you need to wear more velour and a durag. That shit would be the best.
Ooh, Danny, you would be good. You'd be good.
Oh, you guys ever see that dude that does he's the white dude, he wears the durag and he comes up and talks to people and he's trying to be a thug when he's talking to her? You ever seen those clips? That shit's funny. He's like, hey, girl. No. And you're just like, what is this dude do? And everybody's just like ridiculing him, but he's trying to keep it straight. And you haven't seen those? God, we gotta post a video.
You gotta post some on that. But no, I just find it. I just find the toxic fandom and the toxic brand loyalty just such a weird thing.
I mean, that way with shoes in high school.
Oh,
like,
God, don't even get me started, bro.
If you didn't have Nikes, you were the guy. You wore some Reeboks. What the fuck are you wearing Reeboks for?
I had Jordans. Nobody ever asked me about Jordan stats.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Well, Jordan just became, you didn't even need to know the game. Yeah, the shoe.
You just had to know which shoe was which number.
Yes.
You needed to know. If you talked about sixes and you were really talking about the nines, you were that guy.
That, yes, because the culture, sneaker culture has just become
insane. You're right. You're right. There's a quiz on the sneakers.
Yes.
Like, you know, or. And you know who else is very guilty of this weird, like, it's car people. They're like, oh, you got that's a 65. Well, actually, you stopped making those in 63. That's a blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's the old panhead before they switched to the straight axle. You're like, bro, I don't, like, I'm not even that good at my job.
This girl brought up, like, how nerd dudes that maybe have trouble. Okay, so there's like comedians that are nerds, right? And they're like, they talk deeply about like what Marvel or whatever on stage, and girls come lusting after those dudes, right? But like, she was like, yeah, but you don't know that as a comedian. She was like, yeah, but these dudes are not fucking actually cool. That's like actually what they feel. You're romanticizing his nerdness, but some of these dudes don't have friends like for reasons, for exact reasons, because they fucking are condescending to every person they talk to if they don't know fucking what universe, you know, saying Stan right. Lee was writing about with this and what year it came out and how that was a problem for the franchise and blah, 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 blah. Like,
Universe, Marvel Universe 8311, yeah. Which is Animal Universe, which of course is where Spider-Ham came from.
Exactly.
You didn't know that?
Right? Yes. Oh, and they talk to women where... like that, and girls are like, dude, you're awkward and you're a sarcastic asshole. Why
do you want to get just rude?
Yes. That's why. Not because you know anime. It's because you are an asshole, bro. Straight
you know, what? I bought my first comic books like a month ago.
Wow.
Oh, I'd never bought comic books before.
What'd you buy?
Know, I'm really into that Warhammer shit, right? Mm-hmm. So Warhammer 40,000, like long story, like this is kind of nerdy, but I actually know there are listeners that are into this on the podcast. But so Warhammer has been like,
so wait,
basically,
hold on a second. You wouldn't have talked about this if there wasn't listeners that enjoyed it?
No, I mean, I would have regardless because I'm a narcissist and I'm the best at everything, right?
I didn't have to say it because it's such a random thing to say. You're like, I'm going to say this because
it just popped up into my head. I was like, I shouldn't talk about Warhammer, but I'm like, at least there are people that know it. But like, so the game's been around for a long time and it's mostly just been books and tabletop stuff that you can play. This elaborate tabletop game, and it's this whole hobby where you build these miniatures, paint them and play this game with it. But Marvel started doing a comic book for Warhammer 40,000. And it's like the first time anything like it's been done. And what's cool about it is like, it's a really well-known writer in the Marvel universe, I guess. I don't know much about comics, but the guy also happens to be a really big Warhammer nerd himself, the writer from Marvel, that is. So like he put like a bunch of effort into it. I was like, oh shit, like I didn't realize they made these comics, and all of the stuff that Warhammer does, like it becomes really valuable later on in life because there is such a cult following, like these incels and nerds that Mark's talking about that are like so deep into the world that like I've gone to play games at like local stores and it's like I just like to build the models, paint them up and play the game. But these guys are like, if you don't know the lore, like the story about your army and shit, like you're a piece of shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm being judged by my own people for things. So like, I totally get what Mark means, but it's just kind of crazy that they went and wrote this book. And now I bought my first comics and you know what? I haven't even read them.
I'm going to throw something out there. I started this conversation about the band Lovers who get mad about that. But I guess it exists in every culture, in every fandom. Even with the Jordans, the sneakerheads, car people, you know, whatever people are into, just don't be that guy.
But
if somebody likes the stuff, be happy that somebody else is interested in your stuff, even if it's
exactly.
just for the logo.
But do you think it's like, do you think it? You're only really offended by it if you are also into that thing? You know
I
what I mean?
That,
because like,
I think that's go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Mark. Sorry, as though. Sorry, dude, that was terrible. But I feel like there was a time when there was only a small group of, it felt like there was only a small group of people that liked it, and you were alone in your room and had it to yourself, and like you were, and people thought you were lame because you were into it, and
that's
you just
it.
Thought
it
no
was.
One knew about it, right? And then now the internet and social media has made it where like there's this influx of a whole bunch of people that those people would call not OGs, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. New people that are just bandwagoners that are into it just because the internet brought it. But it's like, okay, doesn't that bring more people around your stuff, right?
Into
doesn't
your
bring
circle.
More money?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why are you not getting validation for more people enjoying what you enjoy?
Yes, exactly.
I wonder too, like you brought up like you were alone and maybe you were picked on about it. And I wonder if that's a thing too, like, hey, in the 80s and 90s, I got beat up for this. And
yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're old now. and middle aged, and you're like, it's so easy for you to like this now because it's so fucking cool. Nerd culture is everything culture. You know,
I had to be ridiculed for this, and now you're cool because of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can see those hates, but I see it in very young people who really did it. You know, this anti-bullying age is a weird morph of bullying. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, oh man, what's the thing? You know, you don't get beat up, but you get put down for your lack of knowledge of something.
Yeah, everybody wants to be smarter than somebody, and they got to pick their niched categories to be smarter than them about.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to study, and I'm going to be the best in this one thing. And whether it be the lore of Warhammer, or knowing everything there is to know about comic books,
or this band and their lyrics and where they went on tour, and like, you can nerd out about whatever you want, pretty much.
I gotta tell you, you want to know like the most toxic anger I've ever seen. Is on TikTok because I follow some guys that talk about anime or comic books or movies, and they play one character versus another, and it's like, oh my god, I got it.
Oh.
The comic book or the comments, and man, like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You're fucking beta male. You never seen it. It's like, whoa.
Yes. You know Marty used to be a moderator on like these boards that were hypothetical superhero battles, and I was like, why do you take this shit so serious, man? Like, you know, he's like, no, I'm a moderator on the forums. And I'm like, why do you take that so serious? You know, and he's like, because like people get mad about this shit. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, if you're talking about like this version of Superman taking on this version of Superman. And like, he was like, people would get, like you're saying, like genuinely just fucking rage out at each other over hypothetical superhero battles.
Yeah. Like, not even like, like, I'm mad, or I want to discuss this with you further. Like, I want to fight you to the death. I'm going to break my keyboard style. And it's like, I'm just blown away by why. Right? They're fictional.
Yeah. I'm searching through your metadata to find your home so I can come there and insult you to your face. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and in the same regards, I feel like these band people, like, you know, like, oh, you know, and this is the thing. My daughter is in the sixth grade. None of those kids know that's who crazy. Rolling Stones is.
Right? Right?
Why?
Well, that's why they're going to give her shit. That's why they want to give her shit, because they're like, why are you doing this if you don't even know them?
Oh, because they, like, also don't know it.
I feel like at this point in society, it's like, the brand thing, like with influencers and all this shit, it's like everybody is paying attention to what people support. Like, I have been a proponent for a long time now. Like, I won't wear anything that's got a brand on it. I, like, all of my shit will just be a color or a pattern, but it won't have a brand on it because of exactly what you're talking about. People be like, oh, well, do you even blah, blah, blah? It's like the dude with the bedazzled jewel pants and the tap out shirt, right? Like, oh, you really fight, bro? No, I'm watching a tap out, wearing a tap out shirt because I like the UFC or something.
Yes.
Like, you shouldn't be wearing that.
Why did the person who liked the word tap out in the design have to be a fighter?
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, there, I feel like I can understand why your daughter wants to know that, because people are going to just be like, well, why would you do that? Because you don't even know them. And it's like, because I like the picture.
Exactly. Why can't that be an acceptable answer? It's a really cool picture. You know, my dad has a Rolling Stones shirt. You know, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Or like, you know, my little brother wears Johnny Cash. He's 2 years old. Clearly, he doesn't know Johnny Cash.
Wait.
No one's going to. Yeah.
Wait,
no one's
you get got him. A little brother that's wearing a Johnny Cash shirt?
No, she has a little brother.
Yeah.
My son wears Johnny Cash.
Yeah, well, I don't think he should Johnny do it. Cash.
Oh, because, yeah, he
I don't support it.
Yeah, that's true, because he doesn't know any song.
He doesn't know a fucking thing.
You know, I was like, hey, Ring of Fire. And he's like, no, that's Social Distortion. And then, you know, I had to beat him because he didn't know that Johnny Cash originally had done it.
Then I slapped him in his dumb little mouth.
Social Distortion. That was the 80s, you little mongrel. God, he should have known. He should have known.
Yeah. What else? What other topics you got? I like that.
No, that was one of them. Did we lose Mark? I wanted to discuss a phenomenon, and this is not just celebrity. Actually, I think in the like celebrity realm that this is a lot different. I think in the non-celebrity realm, this is more so I see is when people die, according to that family and everybody else, they become a martyr. They've never done wrong. They were this great person and all of this different things. And when you know somebody and you dislike them, it's like, it's so hard. It's such a hard like pill to swallow. Like, oh, they're dead. Now you can't dislike them anymore. And, you know, I just think there's something wrong with that, that we can't say who a person was in life after they die. I don't know if anybody else has experienced this, but.
No, I do, like, I do. Yes, I do know what you're talking about.
What's that, Danny?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I know what you're talking about. Like, why can't you, you can only all of a sudden look at the positive side of whatever they had going on.
Why can't we just accept them at like, you know, when somebody dies, like, hey, yeah, they're dead now. And, you know, they did some good, but they were also pretty terrible. So let's go ahead and just make this quick. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like,
right,
because we don't appreciate people while they're alive. That's why. And so death is something that we haven't, you know, it's hard to come to grips with, so that we just revere them and do this whole other thing and change what their whole thing was, even though they could have been awful as fuck. We just totally, you know, we push it up super high. So that is what I might think. That's what I think.
I agree with Mark, actually.
So with this thought process that we do in life, you know, and like I said, in celebrities, a lot of times I feel like, you know, whatever happens with them, you know, like, hey, remember that he did this. You know, people don't let it go for celebrities. But, you know, in a different world, what we have, Mark, you're maybe a little bit different. You're going to be a celebrity one day. So, you know, we're going to hold a lot against you.
Right. I'm already jealous of Mark's future success.
That's right. That's me. I'm actually about to start making beats just so I can compete with Mark.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking about doing live shows when I do mine.
Danny, you don't own live. I can go live too, okay?
Yeah,
it's
but
it's not
like,
just your thing. No.
No, it can be both our things, though.
No, it can't.
We're going to have celebrity friend.
That's true. We get to be your celebrity entourage.
Oh, Mark, can I join the entourage?
Yes, man.
Yes.
I'm not shit, guys.
I don't care if you're not shit. I just want to go around and talk shit.
I'll be your non-celebrity entourage. I don't give a shit.
I'll be the guy that tells. Yeah, I actually couldn't serve a useful purpose if I'm honest, but
I don't have any purpose as well.
Yeah, we'd have some fun, and Fez could just beat people up for us.
That's right. I'm a large individual like that. Okay, but oh man, I was gonna go someplace with this. All right, so people, you know, they die, they become martyrs. I believe that this phenomenon is why history is so disingenuous.
Mm.
I feel like a lot of times there's people in history, not like the big ones like Genghis Khan. Like if you become that celebrity, people are going to call you for what you are. I feel like there's a lot of people in history that may have been, you know, worse than what they said. Like, for example, Tesla. We don't know much about Tesla except that he was, taken advantage of by Edison.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't know what he was like in life because after he died, all you hear is of the good. So I feel like history is full of these characters that we revere because we don't know enough about them.
Mm.
So totally. What are you guys thought? Like who and where do you think this could either be good or bad when it comes to like history or what?
I think this question is actually interesting because for me, it immediately tied me back to one of our previous episodes where I said, like, I don't want to go back in history to, like, see, like, I believe I used, like, John Bassalone or Dan Daly or some war hero or whatever to see what they were really like because of exactly what you're saying. I think, like you're saying, somebody dies and all of a sudden you either focus on the really good things they did or was it a guy that, you know, when Hitler died, it's like, okay, he did all of these bad things. Nobody would ever say anything. Like, have you ever heard of Hitler doing a good thing in his life? Probably never, right? But like, even the world's most evil person probably has done some good in their life. You know what I mean? But it's just once those things go into the annals of time, like everything is just hearsay. That's why, like, yeah. It's weird.
You know, I feel like if our modern day recreating of villains is more accurate than our history retelling of history.
Right. Like,
it's such a weird thing because
the way we create them for fake movies, you mean? Like,
yeah, the way we create villains for fake movies, like, oh, his motivation was this. We can understand why he did this because of, you know, they killed his, like, you know, Gerard Butler in that outstanding citizen. Man, I'm really messing this up. Mark, what am I trying to say here?
Law-abiding citizen.
Daniel for the win. Law-abiding citizen. He was the bad guy. But because something bad happened in his life, like if you take it, like, you know, he murdered a bunch of people, right? Jamie Foxx in that movie, he
is the good guy.
He's the good guy. But we get to see the bad that they did in life in these movies. You know what I'm saying? We get to see the good that the heroes do in life or the villains do in life in these movies. We don't take the same skepticism to history's people.
Mm-hmm. We're quicker to put them into one category than, like, I haven't actually seen the movie, but Joker. You told me about Joker, I believe, right?
I mean, I've talked about it. I thought the movie was fun. I really did.
Yeah, and I heard people that are like, you know, well, I can understand why the Joker's doing what he's doing, you know, and I'm like, well, isn't he doing, like, I've never seen it, but I'm like, well, isn't he doing, like, a bunch of bad shit? And they're like, well, yeah, but, like, he had trauma. And I'm like, yeah, but, like.
I'm gonna go into an unpopular opinion. The movie of the Joker doesn't explain the Joker. Because the prequel to the Joker, and Mark, are you there?
Yes.
Let me lead you again. Okay. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. He was already in a mental institution, right?
He was not in the beginning of it. Oh, you mean, was he in there before? He had gone to it before?
Yeah. Well, as a child, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So he was already crazy. He laughed at terrible things. Like, that was his, like, oh, I laugh when it's I'm uncomfortable or like something bad's happening. I laugh. He had a little card made because he was already crazy. And people were trying to, like, say, oh, society did this. And the reality is society wasn't part of it. It was his excuse to be even crazier. I don't feel like it. I like the movie, but I don't feel that the Joker was a genuine movie that basically described his downfall. Like, the movie Fallen with Michael Douglas is a great movie that shows this guy really got crapped on and crapped on and crapped on until he lost it. Falling down, I believe. Yeah, you know, and that, you've seen that one, Mark?
Yes, I have. That's just amazing.
That movie is amazing, and it's what everything the Joker was not. Because in the beginning, this guy isn't a crazy person. He's a normal guy, good job. He's done everything he's supposed to do, and he eventually becomes crazy. I feel like that's a more apt movie for of a Joker-like character, of just losing it and not having control anymore. I feel like the Joker is, when people say, like, oh, that's why he becomes the Joker. No, he was already crazy. But I like the movie. I'm not taking away from it. I'm taking people's argument who say that's what they got out of it.
Yeah, now you're going to get beat up on an online forum somewhere.
I will, because this is the type of things you don't talk bad about.
Right.
You don't get to discuss this. You don't get to have an opinion on it. Did I read all of the Jokers starting from 1942? No, I don't know what I'm doing.
So fuck you and your opinion, Fez.
That's right. That is absolutely right. That's how it works. But yeah, I think that. So, oh, sorry, Danny. I kind of cut you off. What were you going? Where were you going with that?
Oh, I don't even remember.
My bad. I'm sorry. So I know we're talking. Are there more accepting of flaws than history is, or nuance than history?
We'll put somebody in a box real quick. But in a movie, we'll give them understanding, and we'll try to see where they're coming from. All of a sudden.
Yeah, we want to see their point of view, but in history, we don't care about anybody's. But, and you know what? In society, We don't care about anybody's point of view. We are quick to demonize everybody.
That's true. It's weird, for anything, too.
For anything. That's absolutely right. Somebody says somebody makes a bad TikTok and they want them fired. I guess this is cancel culture. But yeah, they want their lives destroyed. And I don't think the outcome, sometimes I don't believe that the infraction is as bad as the outcome or even deserves the outcome.
Yeah, like they'll take it too far, go over the top with it.
Movies going are back more in time. Accurate. I think there's a problem with it. I just don't know how deep to go into this conversation.
Don't. Go into a new one.
With the Terra Romas, Edward Mandrake. I don't even know what any of that stuff is.
Okay. I'm sorry. I think it's a teratoma is what I wanted to put there. And there's an amazing thing. It's called The Monsters Inside of Us. There was a documentary or something I seen about this. And basically, chimeras as, you know, something that's inherently wrong or right. And then you linked it to UFOs, and then you linked it to viruses. So this is an interesting conspiracy theory.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. Does it have to be a conspiracy
theory? Hold on a second. Well, of course it's a conspiracy. Everything's a conspiracy theory until it's proven true. Regardless of it, the truth of it, if it's being denied, it's a conspiracy. And okay. I have no problem with a conspiracy theory because I believe the government lies to us often. And, you know, if you take statistics, if you whatever you think, does the government lie to you 25% of the time? Does the government lie to you 50% of the time? Does the government lie to you 75% of the time? And with those amounts that you believe they lie, you should believe an inverse amount of conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I mean, I believe that. Now, you have to increase that because what does the government not tell us? Not specifically lie to us, but not tell us. And I think you got to almost triple that number. So if your number was 75%, so out of us, you know, 100 things, you should almost believe in that 95% or 95 of those things are going to be things that the government is either lying or omitting. You get what I'm saying? So it's a vast number. So I definitely believe in conspiracy theories. So one of the biggest things is we've developed a space force. We're creating chimeras. It's not too far-fetched to believe of a staging of chimeras and saying, oh, these are aliens.
Mm-hmm.
That now have invaded. We have the aircrafts. These UAPs are caused by them. Let's go ahead and take more rights. I'm not going to say that that's not a plausible thought. I'm not going to say it at all. I'm also not going to say that it's purely China, because the U.S. is involved in a lot of the things that occur, you know, all like different, you know, advancements. Wait, that happen. They happen in China with
you
U.S.
You think
funding.
It's like a land grab? You think they're like plotting to like make fake aliens so they can land grab and take rights from people?
Oh man, if you want
you're going
to know
way more conspiracy theory than me, bro.
If you want to know what I think, the reality is, I believe that any type of war that happens is going to be a state of emergency, and with any state of emergency, more rights are taken away.
That's true.
That's absolutely what I believe. Anything that, you know, was it Winston Churchill said, never waste a good tragedy.
True.
And, you know, if you can create that tragedy, more better for that government.
What's your thoughts? What's your thoughts, Chimera people?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, what can happen with stem cells is going to be, could be technologically and like medically incredible, probably for, you know, health benefits, right? It could be changing, but do people need to live that long? How long do people need to really live? How many sick is also going to birth way new? Like, you know, that there was like a Wuhan coronavirus center. You know, there
facility.
Was like,
yeah.
facility.
Yeah.
There was that did exist in Wuhan, China. Okay. So like it confirms that it came out of a lab, or like more speculation that it came out of a lab, when people were kind of saying that, and those people sounded like crazy, right? No, they were working on something and it got made. Okay, weird. Why are you over there working on viruses? I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe they were trying to fix it and it snuck out. I don't know. Nevertheless,
Or maybe it's a byproduct of fucking monkey people that they made that created some new virus, and now it's out, and that's why they destroyed the fucking embryo, because, oh shit, we just created a pandemic because we're fucking around with the genetic evolution of mankind.
I accept that as an advancement of people. Like that if that's going to be the end of us, and that's why all civilizations end, is because they get to a certain level of advancement. Like, you know, you've heard of there's a called a Fermi paradox, I believe. Fermi paradox, which is like the theory of like why we haven't seen aliens yet. And it's, I think I talked about this already. Didn't I talk about this with you guys?
Yeah.
So like this, that's it. That's the line. It's like, yeah, there's a technological advancement that we get to that eventually ends us all. And it could be these viruses. It could be atom bombs. It could be us fucking up the environment, you know?
Now, do you think this leads us to a war of some sort? Because we did with Nazi Germany. Like, we didn't go over there because they were doing human experimentation. But like, when we found out they were doing shit like that, do you think, you know, the super perfect moral America was like, hey, like, no, we received that shit and we were like, no, this is wrong and it's heinous. But guess what we did with all the people that were wrong and heinous? Like, we took on Nazi fucking scientists and used them for our own purposes. And it's like, why was it acceptable for us to do it? But like, for them, it's like, they're the evil people. Now in China, they're making monkey people. And like, I think it's gonna lead to a war.
And the funny thing about it is, it's like we just say U.S. did it.
Well, not the U.S.
Between Russia and America, we divvied up the scientists.
Yep.
And then they developed the space race. We were competing Nazi scientists versus Nazi scientists.
Yeah.
For the space race. And that is...
And that's acceptable now. But why? Right? And now with the stuff that's going on, now people are like, it showed that the Democratic Party voted down the funding that's basically funding shit like this to happen. So the National Institute of Health is looking as if they don't support this, but what they have is an organization that supports this Chinese genetic modification lab, and the NIH supports and funds this other corporation that funds the Chinese research. So they don't look like they're doing it, but they fucking are doing it. And it's like, that's kind of fishy. It's like, why do we have this stuff going on? Why do we have these strict procedures in place? Why are we now just being nonchalant about releasing information about aliens? Like,
fishy ass monkey business. I feel like we're gonna be owned by China, dude, in a few years. China,
we already are.
We are owned and bought and sold. TikTok, bro, is, I don't know if you know this, but they looked at like how many, like, you know, when you send something, you send like a piece of information over and then it goes back. The metadata? Yes. Yep. Bro, they looked at TikTok and like, every time you do, you look at something and sit on it, it's sending like triple or like a certain amount times how much a normal thing is sending data. So like, data is money. Data will be money in the next couple years. So
data already is more valuable than gold, statistically speaking.
So like, we're giving them a tunnel of all of the data in this country. And there's speculation that possibly this whole cryptocurrency shit is just China. It's all China that owns all of it, possibly. So when the dollar, we're all talking about like wanting the dollar to advance into a whole nother technological space. Well, then we'll be bought and owned by China again. I mean, like, I feel as though all of this is leading towards the superpower that they are, us having to do something at some point. And we're not looking like the best country right now. We're not.
Right.
We'll find out whether men and women like each other or who's equal when it's time to fucking jump in the draft. That's what we'll find out.
Now you want to talk about different equality.
Bitches gonna jump right back in the
kitchen.
We're
all going into the...
No, they're gonna be like, no, I gotta make a souffle. No, right? Bitch.
I'll patch them up though.
Exactly. So it's we're heading in a direction. This is why we have all these conversations. That's why so many things are about dating, because there's no war happening. We are overdue for a war. Let's be real here.
There is a war happening.
We're overdue for some fat ass, big ass.
I think Mark's talking about war in a classical sense, not like
conventional war.
No, yes. What did you think I meant?
We need to unite against something. I just thought, you were like, do we need a war to be going on? I'm like, well, I mean, We kind of do have
one. Yeah, Afghanistan is still happening.
It's not done. Right, exactly. No, I know that. But I mean, like, we would probably pull out if there was a whole nother force. We would just like, okay, you guys go now and just go somewhere else.
Aren't they shifting troops to other areas?
I believe so.
I just got kind of fresh for a second there. I'm feeling a little mellowed out.
Well, you got high?
You started doing the piano.
Yeah, it sounds like you just jumped into the elevator to a steakhouse.
This is Mark's America Needs a War.
Music. Yeah, it's a soundtrack.
Come on, America.
Yeah.
Go fight China.
We're going to be fighting monkey hybrids here soon.
Yeah. Which is also bogus. Mark. They could grow soldiers.
You're going to do a freestyle over this or what? Come on.
Oh, man, I could, but. Dude,
hit it.
Look, I won't do it. I won't do it.
Demanding him fucking perform. One thing I will say, talking about chimeras, talking about virus, talking about, you know, revolution and everything, there's a show on Netflix called Sweet Tooth. Have either of you guys started that yet?
No.
Is that the one with the deer kid?
Yeah.
No, I wanted to, but.
So first off, not the best. I don't think it deserves number one, but it is an interesting look. And there's a whole blame of, it's weird that when you brought up the virus from coming from Wuhan in China, it's very weird that there's this similar parallel of there's a virus that just came from China. And, you know, there was the whole thing is what was the cause of the virus? Did the hybrids cause the virus or did the virus cause the hybrids? And I think we can all agree it was China. So I definitely...
I'm not saying any of that, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like it's weird that you get judged so hard by people for even having a suspicion that, like, hey, maybe this was done for some weird purposes.
So let's go ahead and end this. Are we gonna give Mark another chance? Come on, Mark, end it for us.
All right, this has been Redeeming Quality. Not how men speak, but how friends speak. I want to thank everyone for coming out. Like, share, retweet, or subscribe, and more to come. It's been wonderful. What do you guys want to share your handles?
I am Fez. I have two love handles on my side. Thank you for listening. Danny?
Oh, I'm Dan. We're out.